Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. It's no secret that the universe is vast. The distances between us and our closest astronomical neighbors are huge, and the numbers only get bigger the farther away those stars and galaxies are from us. So how do astronomers grapple with it to make the size of the universe understandable to the rest of us? Jean Creighton is our regular astronomy contributor, and she tells Lake Effect's Bonnie North the very size of the universe makes it important to find ways to talk about it in smaller pieces.
This is one of the things that people love about space, but also frightens them about space, because they feel this enormity is hard to grasp. And it is, but there are tricks to the trade. Two of them, I would say. One is called, we use orders of magnitude. And this is not, I guess, in regular life, most people don't use this term per se, but I think the concept is understood. So it is the difference between something like 10, 100, 1,000.
Okay.
In other words, I don't care if it's 236. I want to know, do you have 100 pairs of socks or 10 pairs of socks? That kind of thing. Now, this is really useful in terms of visualization because, for example, a factor of 10 is the difference between my arm's length, the tip of my finger, and a small room. That is 10 times something that's about 30 feet across, like the planetarium at UWM is about 30 feet across. That's about 10 times bigger.
So is that one order of magnitude
that's
bigger?
One order of magnitude. And if you add another zero, 100, that would be a typical size of a small block or a fairly large building like the physics building at UWM. If you go another zero, that takes you from between UWM to the lake.
And that's three orders of magnitude.
That's three orders of magnitude.
Okay.
So when people say million and billion interchangeably, it's like confusing the length of my arm with the distance between UWM and the lake, which is something we don't want to do. So in astronomy, we might not be able to say it is 12,263 mega light years away, but we certainly are not going to be wrong about how many zeros. It's about 10,000 mega light years.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. And it's like trying to, you know, make sense of just these huge numbers, too. I mean, that's another issue I think people have, is once you get into the millions, you add a couple of zeros, people are like, yeah, whatever.
Right. But if you start thinking about it, well, that's two orders of magnitude different, or three or six. I'll tell you something. I teach astronomy, and a few years ago, I had a student who was giving me significant figures, like eight significant figures, because that's what their calculator had. But they had neglected the six orders of magnitude, the million somewhere. And I'm thinking that's the sort of mistake that an astronomer doesn't want to make.
Right.
I don't care about the six, like if we have six significant figures, let's make sure we have the right number of zeros.
Right. So that we know approximately where we are.
That's right. So the concept is like the ballpark concept. Give me the ballpark. Roughly how many zeros are we talking? And that helps you visualize, okay, this is bigger than that, smaller than that. It gives you some context.
Okay.
So that would be one technique. The other technique has to do with using time as a distance measure. And people find that weird until they realize we do this all the time. We say something is 10 minutes away. And this could be by car, this could be on foot, but in any case, it's quietly understood that we have some speed in mind, and that is then determined, then that uniquely determines how much time it's going to take us to get there.
Right. Oh, yeah, I say that all the time. I'll say, it's about a 15-minute walk for me.
Right. That's right. So the question then is, what would be the appropriate speed? And even the fastest spacecraft that we build, like 40,000 miles per hour, is not anywhere close. So we use the speed of light, which, of course, is much higher. So per hour, it's 600 million miles per hour.
The speed of light.
The speed of light.
And when you say it that way, as opposed to just saying the speed of light, it kind of really puts it into perspective.
Right. That it's many orders of magnitude faster than the fastest spacecraft we have. Four orders of magnitude, in fact. Okay. So even when we use that, well, we say that the closest star, well, the closest star to us, of course, is the sun, and it takes 8 minutes for light to travel the distance between us. And people get alarmed when they realize that the sun could be out for 8 whole minutes before we even get the message, but that's how it is. And the sun, of course, is very close to us. If you look at something, say, like a really bright star like Sirius, that's going to be 25 light years away. That's the brightest star in the sky. And I'll just to remind everyone that Sirius is the bright star that you can see, not only because it's so bright, but also because the belt of Orion points straight to it. And if you go, if you imagine that Orion is a bow tie and you have a really bright bluish star on the right side on its knee, on Orion's knee, if I may be allowed the metaphor, that star is a humongous, bright supergiant that's 1,800 light years away.
Oh my gosh.
And the only reason why we see it so clearly, even though it's so far, is because it is extremely bright. And it's 100 times bigger than the sun.
I can't even imagine.
Well,
I can. But
you can.
Yeah.
100 is not so bad because you can imagine like a big beach ball and a small grain of rice. I mean, two orders of magnitude is not so bad. Three orders of magnitude, then you require buildings, you require things that are bigger to visualize it. So those are the kinds of techniques that we use. And even if you use the speed of light, by the time you get to galaxies, we live in the Milky Way, but by the time you look at other galaxies, then that's no good either because you just have two big numbers. So then you start talking about millions of light years. And that, I get it. You're allowed to have your mind blown that it would take light millions of years to reach us is understandably crazy. I get that.
Yeah, and it also illustrates the vastness of the universe.
It does. Now, one of the fun things that my staff and I were looking at, we wanted to combine two very cool things, and that would be stars and dinosaurs. So we realized that at where we are in the Milky Way, it takes us about 250 million years to go around the Milky Way once. Okay. 250 million years. So we were here before.
250 million years ago.
That's right. Yeah. When the dinosaurs were just making their first appearance on Earth. And we've been chugging along with the dinosaurs. Of course, you know, 65 million years ago or so, something astronomical hit Earth and the dinosaurs were all gone. But we've been waltzing all that time while we were, as the solar system was going around the Milky Way with the dinosaurs for a good chunk of that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it was fun to combine two cool things to kind of give perspective of some of these distances to give an impression of how big our own galaxy is. And maybe that's quite enough to get on with. I'd like to thank you very much for all the fun we've had together, and I look forward to more of these in the future.
Yes. Me too. You know, Gene, it's been fantastic to do this. We've been doing this, what, 12 years?
Yep.
Something like that. And so this will be one of the things that I will most miss, but we will stay in touch.
Of course.
And I'll see you at Irish Fest.
Of course.
All
That's
right.
Great. Thank you so much.
Lake Effect contributor Gene Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium, located on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She spoke with Lake Effect's Bonnie North, and you can hear more of our astronomy conversations with Dr. Creighton at wuwm.com.